Good morning, church. I'm Jeremy, and this is my wife, Becca Teeley. We're with Grace Christian Center in St. Joseph, Michigan. It is a beautiful morning, and we're so honored and glad that you've invited us into your home. We are streaming live on YouTube, and the link you can find on our Facebook page at Grace Christian Center as well, too. Becca has done a wonderful job in putting together a YouTube worship set, so we trust that you've had the opportunity to enjoy that. That's also linked on our church Facebook page as well. And feel free to reference that anytime you like. We'll continue to post those and link those on Facebook as well too, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, again, welcome to church. And we are especially honored to be invited into your home. Hey, if you have access to your device and to Facebook, open up our Facebook page and leave us a comment on how you're experiencing the service today. Are you using your iPhone or your smartphone? Are you using a tablet like we have here? Using a computer, maybe a smart TV, or if you're like my son Judah or our kids at home right now, they're probably experiencing the service on his PlayStation 4, or maybe you have an Xbox that you're streaming live with. So just if you have an opportunity, open up our Facebook page and leave us a comment on how you're experiencing the service. And also where you're at. Are you in St. Joseph, Stevensville, Benton Harbor, Hartford? Are you out of state? Leave us a note. Let us know where you're at. So our structure of the service today is Becca's going to go ahead and share some thoughts, and I'm going to share some thoughts as well, too. She's going to go first, and we have some things that have been on our hearts we want to share with you, hopefully to encourage you, but to challenge you as well. We're a church that believes in growth. And sometimes growth comes with challenge, and we're always up for that as well, too. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Becca.
Good morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time this morning, Lord God. We thank you that for the word that's going to come forth this morning to change hearts and to change lives and to encourage this morning. We just thank you for coming into the place where we are, whether it's here in a building, Lord God, or in a home or in a car, Lord God. We just thank you for your presence right now in Jesus' name. Now, usually, if we're here in the building at church, we have testimony time regularly. So, Pastor Barbara, this is for you. I'm going to share a testimony this morning because the testimonies are encouraging, especially when times are hard. So, about 8 months ago, we knew that it was time to put our current house on the market. So, we prepped and we worked to get things done and we listed it. Finally, after several months and about 40 showings later, we finally had an offer. They wanted to close on April 1st. So we moved forward with packing up and finding a place to rent for a little bit and moving all of the things in the middle of a worldwide crisis on the earth. Whew. Now, as of last Monday, we officially sold our house.
Yes.
Praise God. The deal is done. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God's faithfulness is unmatched. And he will take care of those who call upon him. It was hard at times to get impatient in the waiting of a buyer and to keep cleaning and tidying and making things neat. But there were several reminders during that time that God is never late and he's always on time. And now I have a charming rental house with a tranquil view and a fabulous spacious kitchen. Y'all, he will do it. Just want you to know. Now, hello this morning to you in your homes, in your cars, around the world. Actually, Jeremy and I were supposed to be in Ukraine today. We were supposed to be traveling this week. And so we miss you, but hello if you're in Ukraine listening to this morning. Here we are in the midst of a global crisis. Now, I looked up the word crisis, and I want to share the definition with you. Crisis is defined as a stage and a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or for worse, is determined. It's a turning point. Now, it's also a condition of instability or danger, as in social, economic, political, or international affairs, leading to a decisive change, a dramatic emotional or circumstantial upheaval in a person's life. And it can also be defined as the point in a player's story at which hostile elements are most tensely opposed to each other. So we have here a crisis. It's a turning point that leads to a decisive change, a point in history where adversaries are most tensely opposed to one another. Well, if you look around, we can see the enemy is at work in this hour. Nations are at odds. These past weeks, we've even seen government officials say some not very nice things to each other. In the natural, all of these things may leave us feeling especially uncertain. But the Bible reminds us in 1 John 4, verse 4, I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation, and it says, "Little children, you can be certain that you belong to God and have conquered them. For the one who is living in you is far greater than the one who is in the world." Now take that reminder and think on it this week. Be encouraged by the fact that you can overcome because he overcame. Now, when you think of things that we ought to be focusing on in a time of uncertainty or crisis, one of the things that comes to mind is peace. Now, this past week, I've been feeling the grief of these times for business owners, for students, and for other groups that are naturally affected by the decisions of someone else. There's a lot of emotions that are stirring right now regarding things that are incomplete. Jobs, families, education, communities that are separated by the enemy who only seeks to steal, kill, and destroy the things that we enjoy and that we long to be a part of. The aftermath of this time in history is unknown to all of us except for the Heavenly Father. Now, the peace that that we hope for and that we long for, I'm not talking about the kind of peace that's like a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm talking about the peace that Paul talks about in the book of Philippians. Now, in the book of Philippians, Paul was writing an encouraging word to the church that he worked closely with there. He was likely writing these letters from a prison cell. In the closing chapter, he encourages them greatly, saying in Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now in verse 7, it says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now right there in verse 7, the word peace there, it means wholeness, when all essential parts are joined together. Now, in other words, the peace that comes from God brings all things together as a whole, completely joined together. Now, what? How many of you can get excited about that? It's kind of a strange feeling to be here this morning at the church without the church family, right? We've been called as the body of Christ to be adaptable in means of communicating the good news of the gospel, and it sure is strange to be here with out our church family to actually look in the face. Please know this, that our family misses you all very dearly, and we are looking forward to the day when we can just give you a really big squeeze. Now this passage in Philippians, I want to read it to you in the Message. It says, "Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. Make it clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive and that he could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, the sense of God's wholeness, the peace, everything will be coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." Now, isn't that a powerful reminder that it is a wonderful thing that happens when Christ displaces the worry? That means he has to come in and the worry has to move out. Wholeness. That's the peace of God that is available to you right now, today. Now, there's another place in Scripture where we see the same kind of peace. In Psalms 85, there's a prayer that the Lord will restore favor to the land. Now, in verse 8, it says, "I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints." Now, peace there means the same thing. It means wholeness, completeness, soundness, welfare. Now, I dug a little deeper, and I want to tell you the definition of soundness. It means free from injury, damage, defect, or disease. It means financially strong, secure or reliable, competent, sensible, or valid. And welfare is a well-being. It's your health. It's the blessing of God. It's the prosperity of God. So right now in this moment, I want to activate this verse in your life. Now you will hear what the Lord will speak, and what he is speaking to you right now is peace. It's wholeness, it's completeness. It's a time free from injury, damage, defect, or disease. It's a season that is financially strong, secure, and reliable. It's a period of time where we're going to be competent, and we're going to be sensible, where our well-being and our health are prospering with the blessing of God like never before. Now, in this particular time, we need to corporately decree peace. Now, in that verse, the translation from Dabar Shalom to decree peace, wholeness, completeness over our families and our workplaces, our businesses, our finances, our region, and our churches. Now, this season of time will change all of these things like never before, but it will not leave the damaged or missing pieces. The present truth of the Word of God is here to change lives and to restore things to the church. Now, to make a decree is different than a prayer. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:2-3, I'm going to read the Message version. It says, "And then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. And if it seems slow in coming, wait. It is on its way, and it will come at the right time." Now, we hear from God, and we declare what he is saying, and then he partners with us to complete what he said. Now, when I shared earlier about our house sale, we knew it was time, and we knew God had called us to move in that direction. In about mid-February, two friends and I decreed that the sale needed to come. And then we had an offer on March 1st. And today that sale is complete. And I want you to take a moment right now and I want you to decree this with me. We decree wholeness and completeness over our households, workplaces, businesses, our region, and our churches. We take authority over the enemy and we decree health and well-being over the ecclesia, the governing church body that you have called us to be on the earth. We decree that there will be nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing damaged in the midst of this earthly crisis, and that we will be ambassadors of the peace that you give that passes all the understanding and calls us to wholeness and completeness in all things.
That was really good. You had mentioned about the sale of our house, and we got into this new beautiful rental home while we're in the middle of this transition in our life. And you talked about crisis, and crisis introduces opportunity for turning point and transition, which is where we're at personally, but it's also where I see the church corporately as well too. But going back to our personal transition in these homes, I remembered something, and it's Judah had made a comment about how flat the floors are in the house. And it was funny to me because the home that we came from, the home that we sold, was an old farmhouse, the kind of farmhouse where nothing was square, the walls were not straight, and the floor did a nice wave. And so it just made things more challenging. And after a number of years in that home, it just goes kind of unnoticed until we get to a place that has flat walls, flat floors that don't do a wave. And he pointed that out, right? So that is a transition. It is something that we need to get used to that we've not experienced before. So that reminds me of Joshua, actually. So I'm going to read in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all your people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So there's three sort of points that I gain from this passage in Joshua chapter 1. And the first one, I was struggling with trying to identify it, and then it hit me this morning. I call it necessary truth. This passage begins in sort of a dark manner. It begins by God talking to Joshua. And the first statement that he makes to Joshua is, "Moses, my servant, is dead." I find that interesting. Do you think Joshua did not know that Moses had died, that Moses was no longer with him? I think, of course, yes, he knew that, right? A few years ago, our pastor, Pastor Ronnie, he lost his wife, and Pastor Belinda, some time ago, had lost her husband as well, too. These are necessary truths that people have to face, right? So they need to face the truth. We have a saying in the church that a doctor's report may be true, but it's subject to change, right? So we face the reality of the challenges that are before us. But we know that by our God, that those reports are subject to change, that reality is subject to change. It does not have to stay that way forever. So God says to Joshua, "Moses is dead." See, God has this really interesting way of not skirting around issues, not talking circles around issues. He speaks directly to the heart of Joshua's fear. Moses is dead, and it's time for transition. You see, for a long time, Joshua was used, actually for his whole life, Joshua was used to being Moses' aid, the aid of Moses. But it was always Moses that was the leader. It was Moses that was called up to the mountain of God. It was Moses that was given the commandments. It was Moses that was chosen to lead the people of Israel out of bondage. It was Moses that was given the rod of God. It was Moses that struck it and spoke to the Red Sea and it parted. See, Joshua was always used to being in close proximity to the leader and in close proximity to the miraculous. But God is saying to Joshua that it's now the turning point. It's now time for transition, meaning it's now time for Joshua to no longer be in close proximity to the leader, but to become the leader. It's time now for Joshua to not only be in close proximity and observe the miraculous, but to become the instrument of God's miraculous working in the earth. And this is exactly where I find ourselves and where God is calling the church, is that we cannot rely on the miracles of the past, but he is now calling us to become the instrument of the miraculous today. Today. The second point is I call strong and courageous. See, when I think about Joshua, I think of Joshua as being the embodiment, the definition of one that is strong and courageous. And I think everyone that's listening to this probably knows someone named Josh or Joshua. And people would choose those names because it literally means strong and courageous, right? But in this passage, it's like God is trying to convince or persuade Joshua to be strong and courageous, which implies what? That he's afraid. You see, Joshua begins this story not from a position of strength and courage, but he begins this story, he enters into this turning point, he enters into this transition from a position of fear. He's afraid. He's in a place that he's never been before. He's being asked and called to step up, to lead, to become the instrument of the miraculous, right? So he's afraid, and God is trying to convince him to put on strength and courage. And what's interesting is that God doesn't give him a specific instruction. So usually when you read through scripture, you see God giving specific instruction, right? God talks to Moses and tells him to go up to the mountain. Or God calls Jesus to feed the 5,000. He's giving people specific instruction, but in this instance, he's telling him to put on strength and courage. He's telling Joshua, be strong and be courageous. But he's not telling him exactly what for. It's almost as if God is telling him and telling us to put on my strength, to put on my courage, to wear it like a garment, to put it on like an armor, as one that's ready to go to war. See, God doesn't tell him exactly what to be strong and courageous for, but he's encouraging him to put it on like an armor, like a garment. And God is beginning this journey with Joshua from a position of he's afraid. And God's encouraging him, be strong and courageous. Joshua, in fact, be strong and very courageous. And Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, for I will be with you wherever you go. In every place that you place your foot, I will give that land to you. This is the word of the Lord to this church today. Right? Joshua begins from a place of being afraid of the uncertain because he's entering into transition. It's an unknown. It's an uncertainty. Right? So God is trying to convince him to be strong and courageous. But at the end of the story, Joshua is the embodiment, the definition. God brings him to a place where he is the definition of strength and courage. And this is where we are going, church. The third point I call you and your people. You see, the Lord says to Joshua, now then, you and all your people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them, the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, you and your people. You know, in this time that we're in right now, it's so easy for people to withdraw into isolation, to pull back, right, to retreat. And I would encourage you, we would encourage you today to not do that. Those times when you feel like you want to be silent, those are the times it's time to shout out. Those times when you feel like you want to retreat into isolation, it is those times when you need to reach out and press forward. Lean into this. Lean into the miraculous. Become the instrument of God's miraculous working in his kingdom, in the earth today, in your community, in your home. You do not need to face this fear. You do not need to face your fear alone. You do not need to face your uncertainties alone. He calls Joshua to you and your people. This is a time when you need to know your people. We need to know our people. Who are we with? Who is with us? He is not calling you to cross over alone. He is calling us to cross over together. God is challenging us to do a live autopsy of our relationships, to examine our relationships. We need to know those in our life whose opinion of us really matters, because everyone's got an opinion, right? A lot of people have an opinion of you and of me, but not everyone matters. So who, do a live autopsy of your relationships in your life. Whose opinion of you really matters? And pay attention to those. Draw close to those. Do not retreat and withdraw into isolation, but draw close to those and lean into those. We need to be building long-term relational equity with the people who would normally not engage with the church. You know why? Because us as the church, we have made the statement for so long, for so many years, that the church is more than just the four walls. I'm sure you've heard that a number of times. I've heard it a number of times. I've said it a number of times. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? It is now time to put that word, to put that statement into action, right? We are forced to innovate. Necessity is the best driver of innovation. And we are in this moment, right? We've made the statement the church is more than just the four walls. Well, guess what? It's time to demonstrate that. We will demonstrate that as the body of Christ, as the church, as the ecclesia. We will demonstrate that. So we want to just pray with you and pray over you as you're in your home. And we believe for the Lord God Almighty to show himself strong in your life, strong in your home, strong in your situation. You know why? Because the situation that you're in, it might be true, but it is subject to change. Your bank account might read zero. That might be true right now, but it is subject to change. You may have been laid off. That might be true. It is subject to change. You may have lost your job. That might be true. It is subject to change. You might be going through some difficult times in your family with your children. That might be true. It is subject to change. Right now, we believe for the miraculous, that God will not only do the miraculous in your life and in your home, but you will become the instrument of his miraculous working and doing in the earth today. That we will allow his kingdom to come in and through us. That us as the church, as Grace Christian Center, we believe that we are the body of Christ, the family of God, demonstrating his kingdom, not only in our community, but in the earth, the entire earth. So Lord, we believe for your miraculous working in our lives today. And we just reach through to those that are listening and watching today, Lord. And we believe for your very best for them. Lord, there's those that might be battling doubt and uncertainty. Lord, we just inject, we arrest fear. We arrest it right now and we strike it down in Jesus' name. And we inject your faith. We inject your encouragement, the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, just embodying and wrapping itself around all of you right now. I thank you for your Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in your homes. It is time right now for the Holy Spirit to not just be moving and working in the church, but it's time for your Spirit to be moving and working in our homes right now. We are the church, the ecclesia. We cannot be contained by a building. We are out in the earth causing your kingdom to come. And we believe for the miraculous, for miracles working in our lives right now. Lord, you did not bring us this far to leave us, but you promised us. You said that every place our foot sets, you would give us that land. Meaning you give us authority to strike down, to pull down evil in those places and inject and bring with us your kingdom. And prosperity and success, it is ours, your people. It's ours for the taking. It's a gift you've given us, and we receive it, we declare it, and we cause it to be so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. If that doesn't do it for you, I'm not sure what will. But we thank you for joining us for virtual church this morning. We are honored to be invited into your homes. We're honored to be a part of the leadership team here at Grace Christian Center. And as a church body, we're called to bring tithes and offerings into the storehouse. At this moment, you're not here with me for me to hand you the bucket. So we'll have to talk about alternative ways of giving. And there is, of course, the United States Postal Service. So you can put a check in the mail to us. The address here is 683 Maiden Lane in St. Joseph, Michigan, 49085. You can also give by Cash App. Our cash tag is $ Grace Christian Center. And lastly, we've set up another means of electronic giving. On our website, there's a tab that says e-giving, and you can go there. If you click Give Now, it'll take you to the screen and walk you through the process. You can also do text giving. So if you text the word give to 833-956-8295, you'll receive a text back with a link that will walk you through the process of setting up online giving. You know, we're all trusting God in this season of uncertainty, in the season that we've never been a part of before. But we know one thing. We've never seen him fail. We've never been short. So in God, there is never a shortage. We believe that as you give, that he has the whole world in his hands, and he has your tomorrow taken care of. We just want to pray right now over the offering. Father God, we thank you to bless the tithes and offerings that have been received here in this house recently and in the coming weeks. We trust you as Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees ahead and meets our needs. And we just thank you for all of the gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. We'd like to encourage you to share this message if you know anyone who could use this word of encouragement today. Church, family, and friends, if you need assistance of any kind during these times, please do not hesitate to reach out by phone, text, or email. We are here to walk through this together as the family that He's called us to be. And we love you and we bless you today.